Scripture says there's blessings in waiting. Amen.
Amen. To him be the glory and the praise. All right. Y'all turn with me. We're going to be in a couple of different spots. I want you to turn to Psalm 4. And then turn over and just hold your spot in Deuteronomy, because we'll be back over there too. But the book of Psalms, Psalms 4. You know, sometimes it is, it's all the time, it is important for us to, as the scriptures would say, that it's always a wise choice to sharpen the axe. Amen. You know, I brought an axe in here. One of the things that we do when we're gathered together like this, or when we are celebrating and worshiping the Lord individually on our own, but getting together with brethren, there's always a blessing in God's rest in gathering with his people to sharpen the axe. I think it was Abraham Lincoln who made the quote that if it took him 6 hours to cut down the tree, he would probably spend 2 of those hours sharpening his axe. Why? Because a sharpened axe sure saves a lot of labor, a lot of pain, a lot of backache of keeping the axe sharp. And we as individuals need to keep a cutting edge. And to do that, we've got to learn how to rest and rest in the Lord and hear from him. And it's important for us not to simply borrow or lease what we've heard from other people and run with that. We need to ponder in our own hearts and in a sense of stillness before the Lord of what he's doing and who he is and who he says he is, and not just let somebody tell us who he is. Are you with me?
Amen.
And that's part of sharpening axe. Can you imagine cutting down or trying to attempt to cut down a tree with a dull axe or hammer? You'd waste a lot of time, wouldn't you? Not having the proper tools to do a proper job. And like Rusty and them cutting trees down, that if they had to rely just on an axe to do it, it would cost them some time and a lot of money in a day and age when everybody has cutters and track hoes and skidders and everything else cutting. You would kind of miss out on a whole lot of opportunity if all you use were those primitive tools. Well, you see, one thing we can't ever escape, the primitive work of the Word of God. No matter how you look at it, God's Word is always going to be what we build everything else upon. Our prayer life has to be undergirded and supported by the Word of God. Our practice in living is to be founded on the Word of God. Everything that we do as a believer has its roots in the Word of God. You can't get away from it. And because that's the way God has designed it so. And that's how we know him, is through his Word. It's how we talk to him, through his Word. It's how we pray, through his Word. And notice what Psalm 4 says here. And this is just a precursor to get us over into Deuteronomy as we look at this idea of putting faith in God's Word. He says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer." Now what he's about to do now, he's shifting from the mindset of communing and talking to God. He's going to go and speak toward men, with also a reference to the idea of how men have done and treated God himself. "How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? And how long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord." He says in these brief, short verses, when he says in verse 2, "How long, you O sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood?"
The idea here is that he's warning them and encouraging them to be still before the Lord and let God reveal himself to him. You see, when we are going after empty things, and a lot of times what is empty is what somebody says about God. It has no life in it, and it's an untruth. It's not true. And then we take that and we borrow that, but what he's encouraging to do is by faith to take ownership, of what God says about himself and who God says he is and what he does. I need to take personal ownership in my own life. And that's what he's making the reference here. And this is all dynamics of faith when he says in verse number 4, be angry and do not sin. Meditate, ponder within your own heart, on your bed, and be still. That is, don't just take these falsehoods and these ideas that people cast out. And the old King James used the word leasing, doesn't it? Where's that? Verse number 2 talks about vanity and about leasing, borrowing a lie, borrowing something from somebody. And when you have that idea, it's like you're not taking ownership within yourselves to ponder in your own heart for who God is. It's easy for us to take what somebody says about God and run with it, rather than really pondering and meditating and all before God of who he is, and letting that transform us from the inside so that we can be a living vessel of faith that God works through to point people to him, that our witness becomes a pointer, our wisdom becomes a pointer to him. And I think that's important for us in our day. I run across quite a few people that are simply borrowing or leasing something worthless from somebody, but they haven't let the word of God do something to them on the inside to change them. It's more of a, notice how he says, meditate in your heart, ponder in your heart. Now, it's not just something that you heard that you can say with your mouth or you can think with your mind. Let what you know of God transform your heart. And when it transforms your heart, it transforms your life. And when God transforms our heart, we take ownership and faith of what he says, rather than just simply leasing something that's worthless. It doesn't have value. Now, how does that apply over to where we are in Deuteronomy? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 9, I believe it is. Look in Deuteronomy 9. Look in verse number 1. We want to sharpen this edge so that we can be part of this work that God is doing. 9:1 says, hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today and go in and dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourselves, cities greater and fortified up to heaven, a people great and tall, descendants of Anakim, whom you know and whom you've heard of, and you know of them. Verse 3 says, therefore, understand today that the Lord your God is he who goes before you as a consuming fire. He would destroy them and bring them down before you, so you shall drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord said to you. Do not think in your heart after the Lord your God has cast them out before you, saying, because of my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But it is because of the wickedness of the nations that the Lord is driving them out from before you. It is not because of your righteousness or your uprightness of your heart that you go in to possess their land, but because of the wickedness of the nations that the Lord God drives them out from before you, and that he may fulfill the very word which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Therefore, understand that the Lord your God is not giving you this land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are a stiff-necked people. I think he's wanting to reiterate to them that it has nothing to do with them as much as it has everything to do with somebody else that believed him before them, operating in faith.
So what do we see here?
They had to take ownership of this word from God. They have already experienced for the past 40 years the results of what happens when you don't take ownership of the promises of God. Remember when God sent the spies in? How many were they?
12.
There was 12 spies. Why were there 12 spies? One spy for each tribe, 12 sons of Jacob. They go in, they see the land, and what do they see when they go in there?
Giants.
Man, they see things in there that they just didn't think that they could conquer. I mean, you had people living in homes, you had vineyards planted, you had gardens planted, you had fields planted. They had grapes and they have olives and they have children and they have wives. And not only that, but these are not just your average group of people. These are actually warrior mentality people. And not only are they warriors, but they oversized warriors. There's many of them in there that are actually giants that are 8 foot, 9 foot tall. People that just, when you look at them, they're going to put fear in the average person. Because one, you're not equipped or trained to fight in that kind of manner, and you're dealing with people that are and that have a capacity much greater than you, and that's what God keeps reiterating them, is that it's not because you're greater or more mighty. Matter of fact, these nations that you're going to go possess are much more mightier than you. They're greater than you, but they're not greater than me.
Amen.
And you've learned over the last 40 years the consequences of not actually trusting me. Because when those spies came back and they reported everything they saw, and they testified and says that it's impossible for us to have what God says is ours, you believed them. And you didn't believe what Joshua and Caleb said. Joshua and Caleb didn't put the emphasis upon what was in the land. They put the emphasis on what I said about you conquering the land. That God is able.
Amen.
And we can have what He promises. And y'all didn't believe it. And as a result, for the next 40 years, you had to wander through a wilderness. You had to wander through dryness and through frustration and through difficult days. And as a consequence of it, of not trusting me, you had to eat futility and sorrow for the next 40 years. Now what Moses is doing here is teaching them how to take ownership. How to take ownership in faith. For an example, let's look at verse 1 again. Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan when? When? This day, today, you are to cross over the Jordan today. Now let's keep in mind, were they actually going to cross over the Jordan that day? Not yet. But Moses spoke of it in the present tense as if they would. If y'all recall, Moses already told us he couldn't go into the promised land, right?
Yeah.
Who was going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land? Joshua was. Well, Moses still had quite a bit of time left on this earth that he was helping the children of Israel prepare to go in. This is what Deuteronomy is all about. It's the second law. It's a message to help prepare them to conquer what was already theirs. So when he makes that phrase, when he says, "You shall possess it today," he's not referring to possessing it physically today. They were to possess it by faith. Today. By faith today. This belongs to you. You need to see it and take possession of it today before you ever take possession of it in the days ahead. There's no doubt that their feet was going to walk on this land. Their hands were going to handle the produce in it. They were going to fight for it. Their eyes would see houses and vineyards that they didn't build nor plant. But that was to come. It was coming. But they needed to see it with faith before they ever crossed the river.
And that's what Moses is helping them with, to take ownership in faith of the promises that God has made.
Yeah.
Because what does faith, what is faith? Faith is seeing what God sees. And what did God see? God saw a conquered land. God saw giants falling. God saw these houses being turned over to the children of Israel. God saw that this land belonged to them, not because they were good people, but because God made a promise to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, and God always fulfills his promises.
Amen.
God didn't see that they were a righteous nation. God saw them for who they were. They were a weak group of people who had a strong God working for them. And when he says you can have what you can have it when you believe him. Amen.
Amen.
And what he was teaching them in these passages was simply take ownership of the promise today. Because if you can take ownership of the promise today, it may be next week, it may be next month, it may be next year. As it was with Caleb, it was 45 years later. It may take 40 years for God to actually come through with the promise that he made to you, but it's a guarantee if he promised it, he's going to fulfill it.
Amen.
Now what we are required to do is to simply trust his promise. We put enough trust and stock in him that he is faithful and he is right, he is good, and he always has the best interest for us and his glory at hand. And I can trust him whether I actually ever take possession of the promise or not. Matter of fact, Abraham, as long as he lived on this earth, didn't possess the promise. Scripture says he died in faith, having not actually taken hold of what God told him he would take hold of personally, but his descendants got to take hold of it. Because God is what? He's faithful and he's trustworthy. And what God has promised for you and for me and for us, all the precious promises that God has given us within the Word, where we need to take ownership of it, believe what he says, trust him, and let him lead us. Because what faith ultimately is faith leading his, God leading his people. Faith cometh by
hearing,
and hearing by. And every single time I trust God with a word he gives me, he's sharpening my axe. He's sharpening my axe. To be more profitable, to be more beneficial, to be a giver and not a taker in this life. To give the blessed people. You ever just been around people who are walking in faith? What do they do to you? They encourage you, don't they?
Amen.
They refresh you. But when you walk around somebody who is famished from a word, that is frustrated in this journey, they're not givers. What do? They take from you. But people that live and walk by faith, they bless folks. They bless people. They're refreshing. And I want to live and walk by faith.
Come on.
I want to take God at his word. Amen.
Amen.
Because I want to tell you, he is able. And he's able to do more than we can think or ever ask him. And he is able to do the supernatural in our lives. Matter of fact, we was talking about it in Sunday school, that when God's people trust him and just walk in his ways, God ensures that this natural world we live in works for us and not against us. What he said, I'm going to send the rains, the later and the early rains. I'm going to make your fields profitable. They're going to grow grass so that your cows would grow, so that you'll have good food and that you'll be able to eat. I'm going to take care of that. But if you choose not to trust me, I am going to alter the natural to work against you as a form of chastening to reveal to you that you simply not trusted me. Because everything God does for his people is out of his love for us.
Amen.
Because he knows the best place we could ever be is being led by him. And when a man's led by God, he's led by faith. And to be led by faith, you have to be led by the word. So everything we do, every prayer we give, every act we participate in, every witness we deliver should be a product of faith, because the just or the righteous live by what?
Faith.
They live by faith.
they live based on hearing from God.
Amen.
And if God says it is ours, even when it's impossible in the natural, you can trust Him in it. Amen.
Amen.
You can trust Him. That applies to us individually. That applies to us in our relationships. It applies to us in our marriages. It applies to us as a congregation, as a body of believers, is that we want to be in a process of taking hold in faith of what God says before we ever physically possess it and see it with our own eyes.
Amen.
That's the beauty of being led by God. Anybody that walks by faith is somebody that's being led by Him. God initiates it, gets involved in it, and then He instructs us and then invites us to follow His lead. And when we see what He sees, you can't help but follow Him. Amen?
Amen.
And then we get to have, in due time, may not be today, may not be tomorrow, may not be next week. Matter of fact, it may be way down the road. Matter of fact, we may be in glory by the time what God promised was to come ever takes place on this earth.
Come on.
But if He gives it to you, you can count on it. Amen.
Amen.
And you can walk with Him and take possession in faith of what He says. Faith possesses today what our eyes will see tomorrow, what our feet will walk upon maybe next week, even what our hands will handle a year from now. Faith sees today what God sees. Not everything that He sees, but enough of what He sees to possess what He promises right now.
Amen.
And you know, when you really begin to think about that, I ponder this. God says the only way to bless Him is by faith. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. So when I trust what He says, I can possess what He's told me before I ever get my hands on it. And when I do that, I am blessing the Lord. And when you think about it, the only time we have the blessing is when? Right now. And that's what Moses, take possession of it right now. Just think about it. Earlier this morning, yesterday, it's far gone, isn't it?
Amen.
Later this evening, tomorrow, hadn't come yet. The only time we have is what?
Now.
Right now. And if we are going to possess in faith right now, we will bless the Lord and be pleasing in His sight of simply taking Him at His word.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, God has an abundant life for you. In spite of what you've seen, in spite of what you see your neighbor experiencing, in spite of what you see abroad, God says He had come to give us life and life more abundantly. You know what? If you're going to walk in it, you got to possess it in faith before you ever experience it. You got to trust Him with it. Amen.
Amen.
How many think God has the best for you?
Amen.
Now, the best for us, for you, for me, for us, may not be in line with how we think the best is. But see, that's where faith comes in. Faith comes in to say that God sees something different than how I see it. And I want to see it how He sees it.
Yes.
And if I start seeing it how He sees it, lining up in faith with Him, what happens is now I'm pleasing to Him. I'm under His favor. I know He loves me, but He also likes me, and He likes blessing me because I'm trusting Him.
Amen.
You know, the eyes of the Lord, the Scripture said, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. 2 Chronicles 16:9, Scripture says, for the eyes of the Lord search to and fro throughout the whole world to find a heart that is loyal to Him.
Amen.
That trust. And He said, when He does, He says, I'm searching for them so that I may show myself strong on their behalf. It's not a matter of, is He looking? It's a matter of, are we looking to Him? And when we're looking to faith in Him, God is going to show Himself strong on our behalf.
Amen.
And we can take possession in our marriages, in our life, in our day, in our walk of all that He promised. Man, what a fruitful and a abundant life, knoweth of the presence of God upon you and in you and working for you for His glory and your good. What He keeps telling Israel, He said, look, I'm giving you these commandments and these statutes, and they are for your good. They're not my plan for salvation. They're speaking of my passion for salvation for you. They're speaking of my priority of you being separate from everybody. It's speaking of my purpose in sanctifying you. And when we begin to glean that, notice what He says over in chapter number, I think it's in chapter 10. Look in 10:12. Look in verse number 12 of chapter 10, and He says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God, what is the requirement? What does He ask? What does He demand? What does He request of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command you today, for what? For your good, not your harm." All these things speak, Tommy, of a relationship. God is saying, I'm committing myself to you, but I'm requiring you to commit yourself to me. No different than a husband and wife when they get married. That covenant commitment that the two are making to one another. Of course, at times we as men and women fail in that commitment, but God never fails. He's faithful and we can rely upon Him. But He still requires a personal commitment and investment that we're committed unto Him to make Him the priority of our lives. The priority of our lives. That's what it means to fear God. That I give priority to Him. I surrender priority to who He is and the beauty of His holiness and the loveliness of Him and the wonder of Him and the majesty of Him and the wonder of Him. I give priority over to Him. I want to tell you, it's a wise thing to fear God. Amen?
Amen.
Scriptures teach us that. Watch how this happens. Go to Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2. This is a work of wisdom of God in us, but it's relational. It's personal. It's taking ownership in faith that I can fear the Lord, that God can do a work in my heart that I fear Him and that He'll teach me how to fear Him. Proverbs 2. Look what verse number 1 says. Now watch this personal relationship that we see manifested in this picture here of a father and a son and the conditions that are laid out for it. He says, "My son, if you, my son, receive my words, and if you, my son, treasure my commands within you, if you, my son, treasure my commands within you so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, my son, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. My son, if you seek her as silver and search for as hidden treasure." Notice, then and only then will you understand what? The fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the foundational. I've said this to you before, that the fear of God is the ABCs of the kingdom life. It's the elementary principles of kingdom life. It's the arithmetic of kingdom life. It's basic English of kingdom life. That you can't get away from it. Every time we go to the store and we buy something and they give us our change back, we're counting, aren't we? They say, "You owe me $25.25. And we give them $26 and we're going to expect back what? 75 cents. That's just basic math, arithmetic. We do it every time that we purchase things and do things. And that's anything we do in the kingdom of God, the fear of God is always going to be involved.
Amen.
But we won't know the fear of God if we're not in a relationship with the God for whom we fear. And that comes when we are seeking it in that relationship. And that's what God requires of us, to fear Him. Amen. So the fear Him, I need His wisdom. I need His wisdom in my life. And when I have His wisdom in my life, His fear is going to be at the basis, the foundation of everything that I do, because it's going to put me in a position for Him to give priority to Him based on a relationship that I have with Him. When a man fears something, he gives priority to it. We got somebody. Who's afraid of the dark in here? Nobody? Who's afraid of snakes? A good portion of us. When you see a snake, what do? Get away from it.
Just breathe. Stick.
I'm afraid of lizards.
Hang on. Yeah.
Stephanie.
Frogs. Rats.
I was over here with a couple of the guys meeting one night, and we were going over some stuff. And, you know, you don't get much of a cell signal over here. Meeting goes for about an hour, 15 minutes. I walk in the house, and Stephanie is, I think she was like, if she could be on the roof, she would have been on the roof, but she wasn't. She had done built up a barrier between her and the kitchen with books and everything else because she spotted a lizard. And the lizard come, and when I got to the house, my phone went off, and it went off like 200 times, where she'd been texting me, come home now, come home, I need you, Nick, I need you, there's a lizard in here, come home, I'm dying over here.
I never said die.
I would beg the difference. It was rough business.
She's afraid of a lizard for whatever reason. Will a lizard hurt you?
No.
Can it hurt you? Oh,
make you hurt yourself.
If you thought it was a snake, yeah. But you see, when we fear things, we do. We give priority to them. We give way to it. And not that we are afraid of God, but that we stand in awe of Him. But we need to be fearful in the sense of afraid that He's going to do what He says He can do.
Come on.
And that's all combined and given priority to Him. But see, it takes wisdom to do that. And to have wisdom from God, you got to have a relationship with Him. And to have a relationship with Him, you have to live by faith. You trust Him. I trust Him. We trust Him. And as we trust Him, what God begins to deposit within us is His wisdom. And He gives us wisdom to fear Him, to give priority and place to Him. To treasure Him, to love Him. See, when a man treasures something, people that know him don't have to wonder what it is. Amen. To treasure the Lord, to love Him, to serve Him, committed to serve Him, to live for Him, to walk in His ways, and to guard and protect His commandments and His statutes. That's what God requires of it, but it begins with in a relationship with Him. And a relationship with Him is always going to be a faith-based relationship. It's always going to be trust in Him. And when we trust Him, we're going to talk to Him. When we treasure Him, we're going to want to be in His presence. When we are walking in His ways, we're asking Him, how can you help me walk in what You require me to walk in? God, I can't do this without Your presence in my life. I'm going to tell you, you can't walk in God's ways without Him in it. Amen?
Amen.
That's the whole point. He wants to be present in our life. He wants to lead us. And faith, a man that walks by faith is a man that is led by God.
Amen.
Now, this is way before they even had the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, God living within them. Now He lives in us. Amen.
Amen. Come on.
And the life He lived when He walked on this earth, He's living it out inside of us now when we walk in our faith.
give our priorities to Him.
The whole time He's sharpening us so that we can be more effective in what He's called us to do. Simply because we took ownership. We just didn't take what somebody else said about Him. Didn't take what the preacher simply said about Him. We take ownership and ponder on our bed and let what's going on in our mind penetrate into our hearts, and asking God to reveal Himself for who He is and what He's done for us. And let me take hold in faith of what You promised to me. Because I want to walk with You. I want to know You. And I want to make it known to this world around us. Amen?
Amen.
That's what He's called us to do. So I encourage you to continue to seek the Lord. Continue to seek Him with all your heart. When He reveals His truth to you, trust Him. Trust what He says. Possess it. Take possession of it by faith. And watch Him unveil it in your life as you walk with Him. Take ownership of it. Take ownership of it. So that you don't have to walk around famished, frustrated, in a drought, doubting everything. But you can walk free and by faith, flourishing in His promises. And feeding everybody around you with His presence. Man, I need His favor. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank You today that we can depend on You, that You are dependable, that You are trustworthy, and we can rest our confidence and trust upon You. And I pray that as You encourage us to take possession of things that are ours, things that are above us, things that are in heavenly places, the blessings that You've given us, that we take possession of them now, that we clothe ourselves in righteousness because You have clothed us, that we put on Christ as You teach us in faith, so that the character of You will be manifested out of our lives, that we wage war with the armor that You've given in faith. We trust You and pray and believe and walk and witness. And I pray that You help us be a witness that people see You in us, Your presence, Your favor upon us, and that this world we live in, this natural world we live in, will be at Your mercy to provide what is necessary for us to accomplish our purpose in Your kingdom. We praise You and give You glory. In Jesus' name, amen.